Good morning. Everybody stand up, yawn and stretch and say, good morning. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to this service today on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you mothers, aunts, grandmothers, foster mothers, stepmothers, all of you. You know who you are. And I appreciate you, and the Lord appreciates you. And we don't want to worship you, but we'll lift you up today. So while we're singing, let's grab the blue book, the Heavenly Highway Hymns, and do number 66. Familiar song, what a day that will be. Second one, let's turn over toward the back and number 232, I think it is. Yes, 232. We'll do the first, second, and last verse. 'Tis so sweet.
Just in grace above His grace, just in grace above His grace. Good job on the singing this morning. Appreciate the good songs. Jesus, Jesus. I know we sing a lot of times about Jesus as our church song is, but it's good for us to remember that we love Jesus. By the way, today is Mother's Day. I think most everybody knows that. And I appreciate all the children paying attention to their mothers today, and I thank you for doing so. But I do want to wish every one of you a happy Mother's Day today, and I appreciate your being here in the house of the Lord today. I heard a comment made earlier about how it was in times past, and it's gotten away from that. We generally try to give our mothers flowers and such, but it used to be that everybody gave their mothers corsages. And they was talking about it, remembering how that the ladies would come in with corsage on their, on their shoulders, is I guess the way you would put it. And I had forgotten about that. I do remember seeing that. I don't think I ever gave my mother a corsage like that, but it was a blessing to see that. But it was a way of remembrance of their mothers. And nowadays, I guess we give them a potted plant or a bouquet of flowers, or maybe a hanging basket is what everybody gets now, and they don't get to wear it to church. But it is a good way of remembrance for our mothers. Our lesson today was on God provided mothers, and we talked about how that mothers are such a great blessing in our lives and how they blessed us and taught us certain things. But probably the greatest thing that a mother can teach her children is about Jesus. That is the greatest thing. And so if you were blessed with a mother that taught you about Jesus, be thankful for that today. Be thankful that they blessed you with such a training as that. A mother or grandmother, I should say, because in some cases that's what it was. Mother that taught us about Jesus, and that is such a great blessing today. And I hope and pray that we can be blessed by this today and keep in mind that we have a mother that taught us about Jesus. If we did not, let's make sure that we teach our children about Jesus. We need to teach everyone that we can about Jesus. Because we're coming into an age and are in the people of the world's lives. I heard this survey this week, and I'll stop with this in just a moment. But I heard this survey that the number of people believing in an afterlife has gone down drastically in the last 20 years. And what that meant was that there are people that just believes that when people die, they're dead. That there's nothing else. In other words, the only hope they have is just living here in this life. That's miserable thinking if you think about it. That's what it is. But they said the greatest group of people that has started believing that is the people that are about 30 years old and younger. And I thought, oh Lord, that's the parents right now that are teaching their children there's nothing after that. Now, we know better, right? We know better. We know there's a life after this life. And that's what I'm looking forward to myself. So with that being said, we're going to move on with our service today. I do want us to think about that a lot today and keep that in mind about we are teaching our children about Jesus and about a life after this life. So keep that in mind. I'm going to give Brother Sam a break. He's doing a good job leading the singing today. So we'll have children's church right over here, and I'm going to lead in it today. Come on, kids. Come on up here. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to have you to come along too. We'll even let the big kids come up here. You know, like Sister Debbie, we'll let her come up here with us too. I'm always glad to get a chance to talk to the different ones. Come on, Cohen, come over here with us. Be sociable with us. Okay, I got another little story for you. Okay? Oh, we got some more coming. Good. I'm glad to have y'all up here with me. Thank you for coming. I got another little story for you. And it doesn't sound like a church story, but I hope you'll get something out of it. There was two little fish swimming. Where do fish swim? In the sea, in the water, right? Two young fish were swimming in a little lake. And they were going along, and they meet this big old fish. Well, the big old fish looked over to the two young fish, and he said, "Good day, fellas. How's the water?" Do you know what they, when they went on just a little bit, one of the young fish turned over, and he looked around at the other one. He said, "What's water?" Okay, y'all didn't get that, did you? Okay, it'd be like I was talking to Sarah and Hope and just saying, "How's the air?" You see, they was in an environment of water, and they didn't even realize it. Do you realize that you have air all around you? Well, you do, but how many of you take it for granted? You don't even think about your air. Do you ever think about it? I don't. We just take it for granted that it's there. You see, in this lesson today, I want you to take into mind, don't take it for granted. Don't just think they're always there. Don't take it in such a shape that you think, well, it's always going to be there. And what I'm going to say is your mothers. Your mothers are special. And I want you to always think of them, and I know they're going to make you mad. Your mother don't ever make you mad, does she? She ain't going to answer that one. None of them will. But she does? Okay. But always remember them and love them. And always be cherished, and that means love them with a special love, is what I want you to do today. Just make sure that you give them a big hug, especially today, but give them a hug ever so often is what I want you to do. Because God gave you a special mother. Yeah, she's special. Special to you because God gave her to you for a special reason, and that was to teach you about life and how it is. So always cherish your mothers, and don't be like the little fish saying, "What is water?" I'm going to turn you loose with that. Bye. Thank y'all. I heard that story this week. I'd heard it before a long time ago, but it kind of got running around in my mind. And how many times do we take for granted? And I understand that the kids really don't understand that taking for granted that much. But we are to cherish one another. But especially our mothers, we should cherish them today. Appreciate each and every one being here today. I hope and pray that we've all been blessed just to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's pray for the ones that are not able to be here. I did speak with Sister Charles earlier this week. She is our oldest member now. And she needs our prayers is the way I'll say it. Just pray that the Lord will help her. And she's on our prayer list, but does anybody else have another prayer request on your heart this morning? Yes. We do need to pray for him. Yes, ma'am. For him and his family both. I know there's hard decisions to be made from what I'm understanding for them. And so, Asher, let's do keep him and his family in our prayers. Somebody else? We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask that you pray for me. Pray that the Lord will bless us today and with the right words today and that And I do not know how to run a service. I'll say that too. So let's just pray that the Lord will take control of the service and run it the way He wants it to be done today in this in our presence. So let's keep that in mind. I may mention this in Sunday school, and I want to make mention of it again. Maylin, I think I'm pronouncing her name right. She's the young lady that's been coming on and off over the last year or so. She told us last Sunday, if you were not here, that she found the Lord, was her words. And I've talked with her some this week. She was going to have to work today, and that's the reason she's not here with us today, her and her sister. But I want you to pray for her. As I said, the devil's after her already. So keep her in your prayers. And she said she should be here Wednesday night and next Sunday. So keep her in your prayers is what I want you to do. Anybody else have another prayer request on your heart? We want to call on one to start our prayer. And we pray that the Lord will bless us today as we try to pray and ask the Lord to be in our service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother John, would you start our prayer, please?
As we move further into worship service, let's continue to sing a few more songs. Number 206, 206, I will meet you in the morning. Blaine, we need you and the other alto singers to really let it out today. Back to 143. He's mine and I'm his. 143.
had a good week, and I hope you've been blessed by God in some way. There's always losses. There's always gains in every week. But I pray that God has blessed you in a great way this week is what I hope you have done. And we just appreciate each and every one being here today. I appreciate our visitors being here today. We thank you for coming. And glad to see some of you hadn't been back in a little while. We're glad you're back with us today. And we just appreciate each and every one making the effort to come out to the house of the Lord today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart that might need to be said before we get started? As I said earlier, I do not know how to run a service. I've got a general idea, but God knows how to run service, and I try to let Him do so. And so we want to follow the Lord today, and that's not only for me, that's for everybody. If the Lord impresses, you follow is what I would ask you to do today. We do have several that have been sick. Some's been sick that's here today, and I appreciate them making the effort to come out to the house of the Lord today, and I appreciate them doing that. I wished all of our people had such conviction that they wanted to be in the house of God, whether they felt bad or not. I think the Lord felt bad a lot of times while He was here in this world. I do. I believe He felt bad. Maybe He didn't have a stomach bug or something like that, but He had a lot of sorrows. And so, and He endured is what He did. And I think it's important for us to endure. We train up our children in that way, don't we? We train them. If we endure, they will endure. They see it out of us. And I appreciate each and every one of us enduring to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm thankful to see each one here. Anybody got anything on your heart? We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 8th chapter of Romans. The 8th chapter of Romans is where we're going to take a reading lesson from. I asked you to pray for me again today. I need your prayers. I have a longer reading lesson than I like to read, but I believe it's needful today. Actually, I added to it a little bit while ago, so we feel like it's needful. So we're reading from verse 17 in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Trying to give everybody time to get there. 17th verse. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, and not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's reading verses 17 through verse 25 for our reading lesson. That coming from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans this morning for our reading lesson. We're going to preach just a little bit different today. We're going to do a little bit more teaching today in this message, and we're going to be teaching about one of our core beliefs. If you look into our articles of faith, this is one of our core beliefs that we're going to be speaking about today. And I kind of hinted to it just a little bit in our preliminaries when I talked about the afterlife, the life after this life. And really, it's not going to be about that part, but the transition from this life to the next life. And really not about that point in time when our souls leave this body in death and then go to be with Jesus in heaven. But we're going to talk about the last time that that will happen. There is coming a time, according to the scriptures, in which that death will be overcome. It'll be done away with, is what the scripture says will happen. We call that the last days, and the days in which that the Lord shall come again into this world, and he will take all of his people out of this world. The Bible tells us in the book of Thessalonians that in that day that there will be a great trumpet sound. You can find that also in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. In that it talks about there'll be a great trump of God and the sign of the Son of God coming back through the clouds is what the scripture says, and with his saints with him, and all of they which have died and gone on before that are in the grave or in the earth, they will be resurrected in that time. Now, the scripture tells us that in that day of resurrection, in Thessalonians, it says that they which are alive and remain will not prevent them which are in the grave from going to meet the Lord. But he says, Paul doing the speaking there, he says, but we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together to be with the Lord. We call that resurrection day, is what we call that. You might not have caught it in our reading lesson, but these verses are about the resurrection time. Yes, the Bible teaches about a day in which that there will be an end to all that we know. The Bible does teach about a day of resurrection, a day that is basically a resurrection of both the saved and the unsaved. You can find that at different places, but one of the places is in the 26th chapter of Acts, when that Paul proclaimed to the people there that was putting him on trial, that he agreed with the Pharisees in that there was a day of which that there would be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust is the way that he puts it. Now, the just are those that are saved, and the unjust are those that are unsaved. There is coming a day for everyone to come out of the grave, to come out of this earth, and this earth will be destroyed at that time. You'll find that in 2 Peter, and I believe it's the third, maybe the fourth chapter. I can't remember right off my mind which one it is. But the fact of the matter is, it talks about that resurrection time, about this world going to be destroyed in that day. Now, as we look at these verses, I want to especially speak today about us that are saved and about what it's about for us. If you'll notice there in that 17th verse, it says, first of all, and if children, then heirs of God. Now, I want you to understand today, We that have been saved by the grace of God, we that have been born again, we that have believed on the only begotten Son of God, and we have received that salvation, we are heirs today of God. He is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Holy Father. A few verses before, it called him Abba Father, meaning Holy Father. But he said, and joint heirs with Christ. It means that Christ being the Son of God, we are adopted. And we'll get into that just in a moment. But if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, if we are heirs with God, and Jesus is going to have a day that in which that he is going to be completely glorified. Yes, completely glorified. He was glorified while he was here upon this earth by his heavenly Father. We saw just a taste of that when that he was called up into the mountain with three of the disciples, and he was transfigured before them, and they saw that transfiguration at that time. That was a time of glorification that he showed. They saw the full glory of that time of Jesus. But then, when that he left this world, there on the Mount of Olives, the scripture said that he was taken up into the clouds and he rose up to be with the Lord. That was another time of glorification. There was great glory in heaven when he came home. I believe that. There was great glory of the people. They glorified the Son of God for the work that he had done. He had finished the work that God had laid out for him to do, in that he was born into this world as one of us, a human being, that he lived his life without sin, but then became one that was willing to die for our sins, and by that he was glorified for all of that work, but not only dying, but coming up out of the grave, and then teaching his early church to listen to the Holy Ghost and to follow him is what he did. And when that work was done, he went up into heaven, and then the Holy Ghost came down 40 days in great power and started working in that church. But then there is a time when his glory will show out once again. And that's what we're talking about today, is in that day when the Lord shall return into this world, and he'll appear, as the scripture said in Acts, the angel speaking to the men as they saw Jesus going away. He said, as he went away, so shall he come. And what it tells us, and I believe it's in the 6th chapter of Revelation, he said that there would come a day when he would appear in the clouds, and the people would see him in that day, and that he is coming back to this earth. And now, getting back to our thoughts here in Romans, it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we consider our suffering in this world, I'm going to tell you something. Paul was talking a lot about himself and the early church, and they suffered greatly in those days for the cause of Christ. Paul was whipped several times. He was stoned, even to the point of death. He was imprisoned at times. He was cast in with the wild beast. And if you don't know what the wild beast is, go look and see how the Romans, how that they would cast the saints of God before the lions and the bears and things like that. And he was suffered in those ways, and he suffered. But he says that does not compare with the glory that's coming unto us. I want you to understand today, you that are saved today, you've got a time that you're going to be glorified in Christ Jesus. You're going to be lifted up before Him and brought to be in His midst. You're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Let's go on. He says now, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. That creature is all of mankind, is waiting for a day. How many of you have heard somebody say, in the last few months, well, this old world's going to come to an end? Now, I'm talking about the ones that are not religious in mind. That what they'll say is, well, man is going to destroy this earth, whether it be by global warming. Maybe it's because the Russians are going to start sending out nuclear weapons and we'll fight back, and this country will send this one and that one, and we'll just be annihilated because of that. Hey, I got news for you. It's not going to be man that destroys this world. It's going to be God Almighty that's going to destroy it because of sin. But what He's telling us here in this, we as human beings, we are looking for the end to come. One way or another, we are looking for it. But we that are wise are expecting the appearing of Jesus Christ. We are looking for that manifestation. You know, other night they was talking about the aurora borealis, I guess is the way you pronounce it, the lights in the sky. I'm sure some of y'all got out and looked at the different colors. And I looked at it too, and I saw very vaguely the beauty that God put in the sky. And I believe God done it. Now, I want you to understand that. But as I look at those things, the days when I look up into the sky and I see the beauty of the blue sky, the days when I look up and I see those clouds as beautiful as they are, even a Wednesday when the storms was going by, I can only imagine the glory of Jesus coming through those clouds. Whew, that's something to think about today, to think about Jesus coming in that day, to think about how beautiful it's going to be for all of us. And we are looking for that day. I believe even the sinners in their heart are afraid and thinking of that day, that it's coming. And they should be thinking about it because it will be a day of great manifestation. Manifestation means it's going to be revealed to you. If you can imagine how it is when that we look at a sunrise and we see in the darkness of the early morning and you start to see the glow of the sun, and it starts to just peek over the horizon, and just watch it as it starts coming out over the area. We consider that a beautiful thing, but I believe in that day when Jesus appears in the sky, it'll be even more of a manifestation in that day. Listen to what He said. He said, for the creature was made subject to vanity. We as human beings, we were made subject to what? He called it vanity, and they did in the translation. But it's talking about sin. We are subject to sin. We're all sinners by nature, is what Paul was saying there. But listen to what he said. We were made subject, and I'm going to use the word sin, not willingly. We didn't choose to be a sinner, did we? We did not choose to be sinners because it's in our nature. It's in our being. It's in our minds. And he says here, he says, not willingly, but by reason of him, Adam, who hath subjected the same in hope. And that word hope there is talking to Eve, and he said, well, you'll be just like a God. You'll be just like him. You'll know good from evil. And I'm of the opinion Adam was not far away. The devil was talking to Eve, but I'm of the opinion Adam was not that far away. And when he thought of these things, he thought, I can know good and evil. He thought, I can just be like God. And that's what Satan had done. I'm going to lift myself up and I'll be God instead of the Holy God. That's what Satan thought. And he corrupted the minds of mankind. And so we're not by choice sinners, but because of Adam's sin, we all are sinners. Now, listen to what he says. For we know, he said, because the same creature itself, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into a glorious liberty of the children of God. You see here today, we as human beings, we're in bondage, aren't we? We're in bondage. We may not call ourselves slaves, but we're slaves to sin, aren't we? Saved or not, we are. We're subject to sin itself. We're subject to it. We're in bondage to it. There's times when the things that I would think that I would not do, I do, don't you? And there's the things that I want to do for God, and I won't do them. To know them to know good and then doeth it not, it is sin. Now, what he's saying to us here is because we are subject to that bondage and corruption, there is a glorious liberty. There is coming a day in which we as human beings in our bodies will be completely liberated. You know what it is to be liberated? It means to be set free. It's set free. You're made to be free. In the Jewish law, they had a seventh year, and people could bond themselves to individuals during that time. They could make themselves servants to them, slaves, if you want to call it that. And because of that, they were subject unto their masters. But the idea was, in that seventh year, they were made free of the deal that they had made with their master. We have a deal as far as being sinners. We're subject to sin. But in that glorification time, we will be completely liberated. Liberated. We'll be made completely free of all sin. Even this body. Hey, wait a minute. I thought we went back to the dust of the earth. Is that what you're thinking? We all go back to the grave in some form or fashion. The Bible tells us about those... let me back up and say this different. We see it in our day and time where people are being cremated. And I've had people say, well, what about those people that are burned up? Their ashes are scattered here and there. A lot of people like to put them out over the sea. What about the soldiers that and the men that died at sea and they buried them in the water there? What about them? I'm going to tell you something. God is able to bring bone to bone. He's able to bring a cell to cell. He's able to bring skin back together. He is a great God, and we're going to see the manifestation of that great resurrection in that day, coming all back together. A lot of people says they'd like to be at the cemetery where their mom and daddy or some of their relatives are at, and they'd like to see them coming forth out of the grave. I'm going to tell you something. Truthfully, in that moment in time, you're not going to worry about them. You're going to be looking to Jesus is what you're going to do. I saw a little depiction the other day in a video, and this guy was standing there working, and he heard a trumpet sound, and he just thought, well, what is that? And he turned around, and he looked, and then they showed him vanishing away. I'm going to tell you something. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to know exactly what it is, and you are too. And I'm going to tell you something. Even the sinners are going to know what that sound is in that day. Whoo-wee. They're going to know that sound, and they're going to want to see everybody. Paul's going to get me for this. Last night she went out looking at the lights, got out there in the dark by herself, and two cats started fighting. What's your first reaction? You look towards the sound. When that trumpet sounds, we're all going to look at it. We're all going to look at it. And we that are saved, we're going to be joyful in that moment, in that time. And we're going to say, looking at Jesus and thinking, how wonderful it's going, how wonderful he looks. And we're knowing that we are liberated in that moment in time. And we're just overjoyed in that time. And as we are looking at that, the sinners will look away and they'll say, oh Lord, I'm not ready. Hide me from the face of the Lamb that sitteth on the cloud, as it says in the book of Revelation. I need to move on. And he says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We are groaning too. You know that? We groan. We complain. We suffer. We talk about, boy, I'd love to go be with Jesus. Lord, I'm tired of these struggles here. I'm tired of these pains and these sorrows. And he says, and not only they, but ourselves also, but have the first fruits. And that's the salvation of the Spirit in us. He said, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. The wit there is the idea of it, is what it means. But the adoption is the adoption. We've been adopted by the Spirit of God and that we've been born again. But then the adoption of the creation. Did you know that our bodies are coming back? I know I've talked about it a lot, but I want you to get it in your head. God's going to bring our bodies out of the graves. And there won't be no more hip problems. There won't be any more leg problems. There won't be no more heart attacks. There won't be any more separations. Brother Sam was separated from his aunt this week. But there's coming a day when that's all coming together. We'll be able to come together as a people together in that day. Now, let me get on. He said, we are saved by hope. Now, that word hope, if you look back at the original word, it means by expecting. You expect to hear God. You expect to meet God. You expect to find him. What he's talking about, when a sinner is desiring to be saved, they've got to expect to get it. They got to have faith that he's going to give it to them. And it's just a split second. I dug my fingers and I don't even get close. You expect. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Huh? Hope that is seen is not hope. I got to thinking about that, and that was kind of like the days when I was growing up, and I had a present in under the Christmas tree, and maybe it was a little different shape, and you got real curious about what it was. And you wanted to open it up and see what was in there. You wanted to do it. You begged even for the time that you could just open up that present just to know what it was, to know how it was going to affect you. How many of you caught mom and daddy away and you opened the present? You peeked in and you saw it. And you thought, oh boy. But then you closed it back up, fixed it just right. And you looked at it and you thought, well, it's not as exciting as it was the second time. Some of my kids got caught in that. True faith, true hope is believing in something that you don't see. True faith is really putting your faith completely in something that you can't lay your hands on. It is an earnest expectation that is out there that you can't really see. I liken it to the fact that you want to see Jesus, but you can't see Him with these eyes. So what you do is you believe that He's there, and with the eye of faith, you really look for Him, and through that eye of faith, you really see Him. You really comprehend Him. You really know that He's there, even though you can't lay your hands on Him. You can't physically see Him with your eyes, but you want to see Him so much. We that are saved, we are longing for a day of resurrection, a day of complete liberty. We're longing to be in that place. And we haven't seen it yet, have we? But we're longing for it. We're looking for it. In our minds, we may have imagined it, and we have considered what it would be like in that day. But we still, in our minds, we think, Lord, is it going to be much better? Oh, yeah. I believe the scriptures where it says, I have not seen, and ear have not heard, what the Lord hath in store for us. I truthfully can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be for me to look up into the heavens and see Jesus coming through the clouds. I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be to see the saints rising up out of the earth to meet the Lord in the air, and then myself being changed. I'll close with this last verse. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It is important for us as God's people to be patient. There was a group of people in the apostles' days that said, well, where is the Lord's coming? Why ain't He come back? Even in the apostles' days, they were saying, why hasn't he come yet? He said He would be back. Have you done that? Every time somebody talks about how evil this world is, I make this statement. I think surely that the Lord's coming has got to be near. And it is. It's got to be. When I look at everything the way it is, the sin in the world, when I look at the way the churches are, and I'm talking about us, the way our churches are today, how that our love is not where it needs to be, when I see that, I think, oh Lord, surely, surely, it's getting close. And I remember the words of John there in the last chapter of the book of Revelation when he said, even so, Lord, come quickly. Ooh-wee, that's a stout statement, ain't it? Then I look around You know, I see these here, that one, those two yonder. I look over here and I see these over here. I look around and I think about them and I think, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. This is one of our core doctrines. If you can't believe that Jesus is coming back, ooh-wee. You need to get your heart right and you need to start looking in that book. You may say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't need to look. Well, you need to look in that book. You need to read in there. You need to start studying about it. You need to know what you need to know because it's important for you to give it to your children, to give it to your grandchildren, to give it to your best friend, to give it to your partial friends. They need to hear it. You say, well, they'll hear somebody preaching. They'll hear about Jesus. Is that enough? Talked with a lady yesterday. She said, well, we went to a certain church. We decided to go there. They hear the plan of salvation. Oh, Lord. Is it enough just to hear? They need your testimony. They need your faith. They need your understanding that they can believe. Brother Sam, that's our message today. I want to say to us all, this message ought to make us all want to get on the altar and pray. You understand what I'm saying? We all ought to get out and pray. The altar is always open to any and everyone, sinners and saints alike. We ought to be praying. Praying, looking for the manifestation of our Lord. While we stand and sing, do you need to pray today?
191. 191.